Hello and welcome. You are tuned in to another episode of Mountain Song and Story right here on Radio Bristol. I'm your host, Tony Doman, and here on the program each and every week, I find and feature different themes relating to Appalachian culture, and then I love to play songs and feature stories all about our topic of choice. Well, today I've got a great show ready to go for you. Today I'm talking with Lonnie Sawyer. If you are a Radio Bristol listener, you probably know that Lonnie has a program right here on the Radio Bristol station called Diggin' with Big Lon. And today we're going to uncover a little bit more about Lonnie's story. His program here on Radio Bristol is all about finding and dusting off old local records, and it's focused on discovering the rich musical heritage of Northeast Tennessee and Southwest Virginia. Lonnie's combined his love of history and music to build a huge collection of local 45s and 78 records. And Diggin' with Big Lon airs every Thursday at 5 p.m., so it's coming up right after this program. And I just thought it would be really fun to feature Lonnie's story to talk about how he put his program together and more. It's always fun getting to hang out with him, so please stick around and stay tuned and hang out with us for the next few hours here on Radio Bristol. First up, here is a few tunes from some local records suggested by our guest today. And first up is Reese Shipley and the Rainbow Valley Boys with Milk Bucket Boogie from Kingsport, Tennessee.
Every morning about 5 o'clock, the old alarm clock says, wake up, Doc. I jump out of bed and I hit the floor. I gotta get busy and do the morning chore. It's Milk Bucket Boogie.
Milk Bucket Boogie.
It's a wonderful sound.
It's a wonderful sound.
Milk Bucket Boogie when the milk comes streaming down. And sling it on my arm. I'm in a big hurry to get to the barn. Greet old Jers with a good, good morn. Fatten her up on the best of corn. It's a Milk Bucket Boogie.
Milk Bucket Boogie.
It's a wonderful sound.
It's a wonderful sound.
Milk Bucket Boogie when the milk comes streaming down. On the best of feed, she's the best darn cow that I ever see. She eats mighty hearty and it must be good, cause she gives enough milk for the whole neighborhood. It's a Milk Bucket Boogie.
Milk Bucket Boogie.
It's a wonderful sound.
Wonderful sound.
Milk Bucket Boogie when the milk comes streaming down. She never complains. Winter or summer, she never does change. Stays so fat and she never goes dry. She won the blue ribbon at the county fair. It's a Milk Bucket Boogie.
Milk Bucket Boogie.
It's a wonderful sound.
It's a wonderful sound.
Milk Bucket Boogie when the milk comes streaming down.
Yes, you are.
Kenny Springs and the Scat Cats there with Let Nobody Love You. And before that, we heard Milk Bucket Boogie from Reese Shipley and the Rainbow Valley Boys. A few musical suggestions from my guest today. You know him, Lonnie Sawyer. So let's go ahead and get into our conversation with Lonnie. Like I said, it's always so much fun hanging out with him and talking to him. And I thought this would be a lot of fun today to feature his story about how he began collecting records and discovering really awesome local music. So let's go ahead and dive on into our conversation. And be sure to stick around and stay tuned because, like I said, Lonnie's show airs every Thursday at 5 right after this program, Mountain Song and Story. So we got a couple of awesome hours here just talking about local records. So let's go ahead and dig in. All right, so joining me now is Lonnie Sawyer. Lonnie has a program right here on Radio Bristol that I am sure that you have heard, Digging with Big Lon. On the show, he uncovers records from around the region, discovers the rich musical heritage of Northeast Tennessee and Southwest Virginia, one dusty record at a time. Lonnie, it's so good to see you. Welcome to Mountain Song and Story.
Well, thanks for having me, Tony. I love your show. So, you know, my show's right after yours and before the big COVID thing. You know, we used to be in the studio here with me, like, hockey nudging you out of the way. Yeah. Like, okay, go. I'm on in, like, 2 seconds. So yeah. It's great to see you again.
I know, things are going well. Things are going good, and it's really exciting to see you. This is the first time I've actually been in the Radio Bristol studio. Obviously, since the pandemic, I don't even know if my listeners know that, because I kind of feel like I kind of keep it a secret. I'm like, yeah, I'm here broadcasting from Radio Bristol, but really I'm at my house.
Well, you know, you've been doing the session with Summer there, yeah, where you say we're sitting on the patio.
We're on the patio.
So
we're,
I guess,
here
people
live.
Know.
Yeah.
Anyway, they assume, like, oh, how cool. They can just run and work on her patio, then come back to the studio.
Yeah, it's really, it's great. I got to say, it's so good to be back in here, having people stare from the museum window and from the exhibits into the Radio Bristol studio. I've got that experience again. I kind of feel like I'm on display, you know.
It's like a zoo animal sometimes. Yeah. But I don't know.
Well, it's so good to see you here live. And I just thought it would be really fun to sit down and talk with you because, you know, you have this awesome show that comes on at 5 o'clock.
Well, thank you.
You're so welcome.
As I interrupt you.
Yeah. But you have this awesome show that comes on every week here. You always come in live. You're not one of the people that have actually been sending shows in because you actually physically have records that you bring in every week. Yeah. And I know a lot of people obviously know of your show, especially on this station, but they might not know the story of how it got put together. Okay. and how it works. So I just thought it'd be fun to have you maybe share the story of how it all came to be.
Okay.
And yeah, how did it come to be?
As I tell people on my show, I'm just a guy with some records, so I'm not a professional in communications or anything like that. About 5 years ago, we're going to back up.
This
is going to be one of my mom's stories. It'll be like 15 minutes long to tell you the name of the next door neighbor.
Yeah, but, we got time.
So I did like leadership Kingsport several years ago. And from that, you know, I did some civic things and on some boards. But I thought there's more I can do for my community because I love history and I love music. So I don't know, about 2016 or so, I saw on eBay, I was looking for like a CD of Styx McGee, who was a blues guy from Kingsport. And I found this like 78 record of Kingsport records. I'm like, oh, that is cool. So I didn't even have a record player. I hadn't had one since, I don't know, way back in like 1985 or something. But so I bought this record and started in, doing research and found out, you know, there were a lot of records on that label, and there was a label around that time in Bristol and one in Johnson City, and I didn't know any of this, didn't know any of the artists, and started finding those records and going out to thrift stores and junk shops and stuff, and it just kind of became a hobby. And it's like one day I've got this stack of 30 records sitting, I think they were on the kitchen table or the dining room table, yeah. And the wife's like, what are you going to do with these? You don't have a record player or anything. Like, well, so that led to getting a record player. And then I accumulated so many of those that I came home one day and her daughter was off to college. She's painting her daughter's bedroom a different color because it was like pink or something. And I'm like, what are you doing? She said, I'm making you a record room because I love you, which was basically, I'm tired of seeing all this crap sit around on all my tables.
Yeah.
So I just got into collecting the local stuff and investigating. It's not just a lot of the local records, labels, independent labels from the 40s up through the 80s. There's no history. There's no documented history. And as these artists pass away or the record producers and owners of the labels pass away, the history's lost. So a lot of times you go out and, you know, go to junk stores and thrift shops and estate sales. The only proof you have that someone was an artist is that little 7-inch piece of vinyl or that, you know, that 10-inch piece of shellac that, you know, that maybe there were 300 copies ever printed and probably your mom and your girlfriend were the only people that bought a copy of it. So it's this kind of needle in the haystack type of records. And I just kind of try to build a story. So I'm working on a book for one label and maybe got some future projects. But so what happened? I was collecting these things and you know, the folks over at the Ernest Tube.
Oh yeah.
So when they
right
were
next door.
Yeah. When they were coming to town, just out of the blue, I guess one of the people involved there saw my page on Facebook. I'd started this Big Lawns Grateful Dig on Facebook about local records. And she contacted me and said, hey, we're starting this recording place in Bristol. You know, I was expecting this to be one of those, if you send me $19.99, I will, you know, yeah. You know, you'll get $14 million from Ethiopia or something.
Yeah,
so,
publisher's clearing.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, who is this? But anyway, I showed up and we ended up just connecting and I did a podcast. And so just brought a big box of local records and talked about them. And from that, he invited me back to their open house during Rhythm and Roots. So during the open house at Rhythm Roots, I get there with a box of records and to show people records. And he's got me he's got a turntable and a system set up. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm a DJ now.
Yeah.
So I'm playing records. And the director of Radio Bristol was one of the people, Chris Trulson. Everybody out there knows that. That's from his show. he evidently was one of the people I talked to that day, and I was telling him stories about some of the artists and records and the history. And 3 or 4 days later, he contacted me on Facebook and said, "Hey, I met you at Clint's thing or at the Ernest Tube thing. Would you like to do that on the radio?" I'm like, "Do what on the radio?" It's like, just talk about the records and play these local records. So anyway, I've been doing this about 2.5 years now, I guess.
Yeah.
I love it. So, you know, I'm still, I'm still old school. They got me 2 turntables, which are right over here beside us. And I come in and play just 45s like it used to be in the 60s here on the radio. And hopefully, I get the needle on the record most of the time. So, I'm probably scared a couple kids or cats or something with missing. So, that's my musical gift. I can almost put the needle on the record. Can't play any other instruments so good. But anyway, I just love local music, and that's what I do in a nutshell.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. And so, I guess that was probably Rhythm and Roots 2018. Was that whenever they did the late night honky tonk thing that they did? Or maybe the year before that.
That was the year before, okay. I believe. I think it was 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then,
yeah. So I've been, I guess it's almost 3 years.
Yeah,
I keep forgetting this COVID year that we didn't do anything. So I guess, it's a little over 3 years I've been doing this.
It kind of feels like it didn't even happen in a lot of ways. Yeah. You know, when you see people like, "I haven't seen you and I don't know how long. And I saw you every Thursday. I
miss
know.
You." And the saddest thing is, so I'm driving, when I'm driving here, I listen to your show, and there's always, especially your skit section,
yeah.
And you always have something of,
something goofy going
to
on.
Say
yeah.
about it, but you're never here for me to joke with about
I
it
know,
anymore.
And, you know,
and so it's just like Summer's been my victim.
Yeah.
Because so, she's usually at the front desk she hasn't been lately with her job.
Oh, man. Yeah. But that is such a cool story of how it all came to be. I love that you actually, like a lot of people might not know, you actually play records from a record player here, and you're not the only one on the station that does that. Bailey George
Bailey
on
does
the
that, yeah.
Honky Tonk Hit Parade always does. And
it's some cool stuff.
Music is just an amazing thing. We've got this giant playlist, the whole Radio Bristol library. You can find probably any song you were looking for, and songs you're not looking for, you can just, type it in and find it. And that's, whenever I started my program and I started putting together theme shows, and say if I was doing, a theme on gravy, I always liked, the show
like
on
gravy.
Gravy that I did, I'd just go to the Radio Bristol library and I would type gravy into the search bar, and it would be like thousands of results. And I'm like, here's my playlist, all these like 58 songs about gravy. I got to pick 10.
That is funny.
So tell me a little bit about, so you talked a little bit about locating the records that you play. I know you said you go to flea markets, thrift stores. Man, it sounds like a lot of fun just digging through and finding stuff.
Yeah, it's a good hobby that keeps me out of trouble. good exercise. So going to flea markets or whatever and just searching for records. It's for me, I guess it's the thrill of the hunt
to
find that one that I know nothing about or that one that I've been looking for 3 years or whatever. It's just always fun. It's good. I've met so many wonderful people. And probably the coolest thing to me about this is I thought I knew a lot about music, and through what I've been doing, I've discovered so many new artists and so many diverse styles of music that, when I said I knew everything about music, it's maybe I knew a couple genres, but now I'm just, I have conversations with people about obscure 1925 records. a few years ago, I didn't even know who that artist was. So, it's a great community of people. And what I like about what I do is there's a lot of people that collect records for different reasons or whatever. But nobody's really the same. So I kind of have this kind of unique set of things that I'm after, the local labels. And so it doesn't matter if it's soul or gospel or bluegrass or rock and roll or just something that's so terrible that, that your mom was the only one who would ever listen to it and say, "That's nice, honey."
I'll buy all the copies you have.
I love all those. So, it's just trying to document all these local record labels. And from, say, the general listener area of the local listener area, say from Big Stone Gap, Virginia, or Salem, Virginia, to like Rogersville, Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee, there were about 20, there was at least 20 something record labels
in this little
area. And, you know, some of them were only around, maybe put out 3 or 4 records, but there were some that had hundreds, you know, that were around for 10, 15 years. So it's just kind of the gambit. You know.
Do you think that that's probably a little bit because of the 1927 sessions that happened here? Kind of maybe people saw that, hey, Ralph Peer was down here in 1927 and this recording session happened and then Bristol's the place to be or this region's the place to be to... I don't know. Why do you think there is so many of that?
Well, I think that's part of it, you know, because, this area in general, and I think you've probably talked to a couple of folks on your show about this before, you know, this kind of this cross section of Scott and Irish people and African Americans and then I guess on like the western side of this part of the Appalachians, a lot of German people and some Italian people in what are the coal fields. This cultural mix of people in an isolated area with the only entertainment that they had were the instruments that they brought with them and learned how to play. So, you know, if it's early country music or early blues music or it was really the same thing. It was, hey, it's all the chores are done and all the kids are fed. Let's go on the front porch and play music until it's time to go to bed. And this area lagged behind the rest of the country as far as economic development and other things, where that rich heritage stayed longer here than it did in other parts of the country until the modern era. When you say the modern era, like recording era of the 1920s forward. So we had this plethora of just magnificent musicians from jazz to classical, all of the gambit from within a couple 100-mile radius of here. So it was just kind of natural after World War II, as recording technology got affordable and you had all these people come back from the military that had been communications people, they knew how to use all this equipment. So there was just this significant, not just here, but in other parts of the country too, significant growth of all these little mom and pop recording studios in the basement or the garage or a storefront on Main Street in every little town. You know, it's hard to fathom that little bitty towns like, you know, like Big Stone Gap, Virginia has a recording studio. Still does, you know. So anyway.
Do you think in another life, if you were a young man in the 1930s, do you think you'd be a record producer? You think you'd be like, don't worry, man, I'm going to play the record.
I don't know.
Who would you be, Lonnie?
Oh, who would I be? I don't know if I could say that on the air. I'd probably be some of my grandfather's relatives. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'd be a fast forward and a hot pistol kind of fellow. I don't know.
Okay,
There's
a lot of ways that one could go.
Taking some corn to the mountains kind of guys. I don't know.
Like Prohibition.
Yeah.
Bootlegging. Yeah.
I didn't say that. We'll be right back.
right. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Mountain Song and Story right here on Radio Bristol. We have been talking with my guest, Lonnie Sawyer, today, who is also a Radio Bristol DJ. And we're talking all about his story about digging in and finding and collecting records. So it is so fun to get to talk to Lonnie. And we also just heard a song, Continuous Action, from the Starlights, which is, they're a band out, a garage rock band, and that was recorded out of Kingsport back in 1964. So we're also featuring some of that music, some types of music that Lonnie always plays on his show. So it's awesome to be able to get to talk to Lonnie today. We've got the second part of our conversation coming up. So let's go ahead and get back on into it.
So tell me a little bit about, so you find these local records from, you know, all over the decades, pretty much. Mm-hmm. What do you do once you find, how do you research and find out more about, you know, this record that you found? Cause I listen to your show and you're always playing stuff that I'm guaranteed to have never heard it before. And it's fantastic. And it's so great. It's so fitting. It's great what you do. And it really is amazing to be on this platform, Radio Bristol, because mm-hmm. you can just, that music is so accessible. I mean, it's, again, it's a guarantee that our listeners have probably not heard what you're playing. So I love that. How do you research and find out more about the artist or the record label?
Well, some of it's just been kind of organic growth, I guess you could say, as I started my page and I go out and find records. You know, I'll post a picture and say, hey, I found this record, and, you know, it's so-and-so from... And it says it was made in Elizabethton, Tennessee. And I'll post it on my page, and, you know, people will comment on it. And so, you know, the great thing with the internet and social media, a lot of interaction with people around the world. And, you know, one of the magic things is the music from this region. There's people all around the world who love what we take for granted every day.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, if it was like, well, he's deceased now, but, like, you know, Ralph Stanley goes to the Walmart in Kingsport and shops for underwear, you know, but anywhere around the world, if you say Ralph Stanley's at Walmart, there'd be like thousands of people lined up. And, you know, and there, if you lined up, he'd be like, what's wrong with these people? You know, we're just like, hey, there's Ralph, you know.
Or you'd be at like IBMA and just for that weekend or whatever festival it is. But I love IBMA, and you uh-huh. see Sam Bush walking down the street and it's like, Sam, Sam. It's like any other time he'd just be a guy walking down the street. Nobody, you know, would recognize, but you're full of this like niche crowd that's like, you're just a complete celebrity. Yeah.
That is funny. So, you know, it's just, I guess the most rewarding part of what I do, I'll post a record, I won't know anything about it, and I'll get, hey, my grandfather was the drummer in that band, or, you know, so-and-so uncle so-and-so was played the fiddle, and that's the only song he was on. And that develops into these conversations, which is also, hey, my cousin was in like a psychedelic rock band in the 60s too, and they had a record they did over in, you know, so over in Norton or whatever. So it's just, you know, I say it's just kind of organic as I get people talking about their memories and music, and it leads to the next thing, which is, hey, I want to meet you, Big Lon. I will give you a copy of this record we made in 1967, just so, you know, I'd never know anybody cared about our music. And now, you know, 50 years later, you're playing it on the radio.
Yeah.
So I've had, you know, people give me records, or people give me, family members give me like copies of like their deceased family member's record. You know, my husband was the guitarist on this record, mm-hmm. and he died, whatever. And, you know, and so I'd just love to for you to have a copy, because he had a dozen of them still in the closet. Because most of these local independent studios, it was, you know, it wasn't a big record promoting guy smoking a cigar in a big Cadillac, I'm going to make you a star. It was like, hey, dude, I got some recording equipment for $300 an hour. And if you throw in an extra $200, I'll press you 100 records.
Yeah.
And then that's just, you know, so these people, sold their records, you know, at the local drugstore, at the high school dance, or out of the trunk of their car behind the honky tonk, you know, after their show. So it's not like these are thousands and thousands of records. You can maybe afford to press 300 or 500, and it takes you 10 years to sell all 500.
Yeah.
Or as I've seen, you know, we'll find people have a whole box of them still in the closet because they sold seven and put the other 100 up, mm-hmm. you know. So anyway, it's just fun.
You know, you go to a lot of estate sales and flea markets, mm-hmm. and I am just a junkie when it comes to estate sales and flea markets. I just can't get away. Every Saturday, I'm just scrolling Facebook, and I'm like, okay, where's the good estate sales this weekend? Mm-hmm. And I love, and then I'm always looking for, like, vintage clothing and just, you know, you can find some really great stuff at those places. But then every time I feel like I go to an estate sale, it's someone's whole life, you know, and it's like sad in this way, because
it's a little spooky.
Yeah. And then whenever you start talking to people, because, you know, most of the time, if it's not a company that's coming in to clean out this house and, you know, the family's not there, you often talk to a lot of family members.
Yeah, and if grandma's house.
And they'll just talk to you and tell you about these items. And you just said some stories about that where people are just connecting with you. And it's almost like a great, like, it's almost therapeutic. I will say it's kind of bittersweet because I've had so many conversations with people like that where it's like, hey, I got this, like a vintage 3-piece mustard yellow suitcase set at an estate sale a couple months ago.
Cool.
And it's really cool, man. And, you know, it was like, oh, that was so-and-so's, and she loved that. And she barely used it, though, and it's brand new. And it's like, man, this is a Samsonite vintage suitcase. Like, I'm so lucky to have it, and thanks for telling me a little bit about the story behind it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just neat. Do you have any stories that, you know, from some of those interactions that kind of suck out at you, or...
Yeah, so here recently, about 2 months ago, there was a lady who contacted me. Her father was in two rock and roll bands that were in the Kingsport area in the 70s, and her father was on his deathbed, and cancer or something, and they knew he just had a limited amount of time, and she was looking for copies of his records. And this is the sad part. They wanted to try to play him so he could hear him, and they were going to play him at his funeral. Mm-hmm. Well, he passed away like the next day. So anyway, these were both rare records. One's, you know, if he sold it on eBay, it's like a $200 record, and, you know, one's a $20 or $30 record. And that's a lot of money for most people for an old, mm-hmm. you know, 50-year-old record. But I had some extra copies, so I ended up giving, there were two sisters, and I gave one of the sisters, met me, at a parking lot. It was like we were doing a drug deal, like I'm the cartel.
Yeah.
You know, and anyway, I gave her the records, and then I could tell she was very distraught, and but she got back in her car, she just broke down crying.
Oh man. Yeah.
And then the other one that stands out, there was an old label here in Bristol called Twin City Records in the early 50s, 78s, and there was a gentleman from Damascus, Virginia, who made a record here. And it's like, maybe there's like probably less than 100 copies. I don't even know how many still exist. But I had played a video of one of his songs on my Facebook page. And I got a message from this lady she called me, actually. She called me and she was in tears. And she's like, I have been searching for that record for 30 years. Thank you so much for planting it on your page. It's the first time I've ever heard my grandfather's voice.
Oh my gosh. Because
he died like 5 years before I was born.
Wow.
Thank you. You don't know what it means to me. And I made her copies of that and sent it to her. So
yeah.
she had like her grandfather's voice. So anyway,
holy
just
cow.
Things like that,
yeah.
You know, and it's more than just collecting records.
Mm-hmm.
It's making people happy.
Yeah. I love that. Those are great stories. Thanks so much for sharing.
Thank you.
I love that. It is Mountain Song and Story.
There we go.
Yeah. So Lonnie, tell me a little bit about what are some of your musical influences, and maybe how does that affect, you know, I know we've already talked about you finding things and just finding the local labels and finding local things for all the reasons that you just said, but what are some of your own personal musical influences? And did you kind of come to the kind of country music, old time genre by way of something else, or have you always been kind of a, I know music, it's, you know, you can get into punk music and then find your way into country, it seems. It's just so many roots and branches.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, there's only so many musical notes that have ever, that are possible. So everything, I think, maybe it's an exact quote of John Lennon, but, you know, everything's already been played, you know, so everything's already been done. It's just people do it differently. So, I've always loved music. So as a kid, I guess, and I'm going to dating myself, I was like, I guess, into postmodern, which was after the punk scene. Because punk scene, I was like 5 or 6, so I didn't know what punks were. It's just some guy with purple hair. I didn't know. So, but I've always been into music. So like classic rock and from that, like blues music and didn't really know a lot about country music, really, or old-time music or bluegrass music until I started collecting records and getting into this. And now I have all these, I mean, like a kid in a candy shop. Like, first time I hear these artists, and everybody else, like, dude, he had sold like 4 million records. So I've never heard of him until today. So, you know, it's fun. So as far as musical, I guess, kind of the thing about me liking history and liking blues music, like, love like Lightnin' Hopkins and Muddy Waters and then kind of into more obscure folks that most people haven't heard of, got me into, hey, there's these guys from Kingsport, Brownie McGee and Styx McGee. And that kind of got me into researching local people. So that kind of led to me, like I said earlier, buying a local record, and which is cool because, like the Kingsport label that I was talking about, there were some records on there that are so distinctive. They're like a country bop, western swing, California, L.A. style blues, country bluegrass record.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No, yeah. It doesn't. It sounds like it should be on a t-shirt.
Yeah. And like L.C. Smith and these folks that were just on that little label that people all around the world, and when I went out looking for these records, I bought these things from France and Switzerland, and everybody around the world like loves these guys that were just right down the road here making records. Same way with the Bristol Sessions. And the other thing that got me interested in the Bristol Sessions. So the second Bristol Sessions, there was a record by Tarter and Gay, and they were two blues artists from Gate City, Virginia. And, that kind of tied back into the blues guys that I was doing investigating about, and that led to learning about Leslie Riddle, which led to, well, you know, that he's kind of the foundation of country music was this blues guy. So that kind of got me interested in the early days of country music. And so all these tentacles just kind of fell into place, and I'm here playing records on the radio.
Yeah. I love the word tentacles.
Yeah.
Cause it's so,
just, you know,
and in fact,
they didn't see the hand gestures. I had to give her the two hand gestures, the tentacles.
There's a, in our, and now I'm pointing and they can't see.
No, she's pointing right over there. Aren't
right
you guys
over
looking
here in this building, in one of our theaters in the museum here, Abigail Washburn has a quote that I've heard a million times. It's part of the Unbroken Circle video. And she says, "The tentacles of the Bristol Sessions." And she does that. I'm pretty sure she does that with her hands.
Does she? That's hilarious.
She does something, but I know that like she said that phrase, but
I didn't steal it from her.
Yeah. So very cool, Lonnie. Man, it's awesome talking to you today. I'm really curious about this. So how many? So you told me in the beginning of our conversation here that your wife had painted a room and gave you a record room kind of a place. About how many records do you think you have at this point? I'm curious. Do you have a storage unit, which is like a climate controlled one?
No, I don't. Some of these things I need because,
yeah,
seriously, I've got two or three that probably need to be here in the archives that I have the only known copy in the world.
Wow.
Of some 78s, but 4,000 or 5,000.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. And most of those are local. Now I have duplicates of a bunch, but you know, there's a couple thousand local records that were made just here in the Tri-Cities area around Bristol. So,
so what do you do about storing them? I'm just curious because, you know, even when you go to flea markets or yard sales, it's or going through someone's house, it kind of sometimes things aren't maybe even stored very nice. And you think, oh, man, that's
going to... You've been talking to my wife about my record room.
That's going to melt or it's going to, like, damage something. I don't know. What do you...
Well, with records, the main thing is to keep them out of direct sunlight. Is that the... And keep them clean. So most of mine, I have, like, a shelf that I've... I found, like, in Greenville, Tennessee at a an antique store that was going out of business, this huge like oak cabinet that was that had been in a radio station, and it has all these slots for thousands of 45s, and it weighed like 400 pounds. But I bought this thing. I had to rent a U-Haul truck. That's how big this thing was to... Whoa. Bring it home and get my dad to help me drag it in the house. So I've got this rack, but I still have a lot of boxes sitting around. But the main thing is I don't let direct sunlight get on them, or I put them in a sleeve, keep them from getting any dirtier. The main thing, if you're going to collect records, you got to clean them properly. Because, mm-hmm. If they've been sitting out 30 or 40 years, even in grandma's house, and grandma's awful clean, yeah. There's still dust in the grooves and stuff. So, if you take the time and learn some of the techniques to clean them, it's really, really rewarding if you want to start collecting records.
Yeah. What other advice do you have for someone who might be listening to this conversation and they're thinking, you know what, that sounds like a lot of fun. That sounds like a cool hobby to get started in just collecting music. What advice would you give to an aspiring, I wouldn't say young, just an aspiring record collector, or young, old, 1 to 100?
I think the number one thing is have an open mind. Just because you have a preconceived concept of what an artist or a certain genre of music or a certain time period in history, music is so universal that, from what I've been doing collecting, probably 50% of my favorite artists now are people I didn't even know existed a few years ago. So you got to keep that open mind. So, I tell people, there's two types of music. There's the music that I love, and there's the music that the artists love that I don't quite get. And that's whether it's classical music to black death metal, whatever, to gangster rap to bluegrass. I love good music. It doesn't matter to me the genre. As if it's good music, it's entertaining. So, you may start down collecting a certain... I want all the Led Zeppelin albums. But then, if you really get into that type of music, you may be getting these 45s of these English bands that never had a top 50 hit in America. They're just as good. So you learn about so much about music collecting records, because there's not anyone in the world that has all of them, because there's millions and millions and millions of records. And so it's impossible for anyone to be an expert on all of them.
Yeah.
So I've got my little niche.
And do you like the cover art too? Is amazing. And I know, like, sometimes, I guess when you're finding 45s, you probably...
Most 45s, it's hard to find covers, but some of them came, particularly like in the 60s through the 80s, there were a lot that had covers. A lot of the older ones from the 50s or the independent ones from the small labels, not necessarily had covers, but there are some cool ones out there.
Yeah, man. So another thing you do is you sometimes set your records up live in different places.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So are you still doing that? Or
I am. So right now, the last Thursday of each month, I do a live show at Elder Brew, which is a brewery way over in Bristol, Tennessee. So
that joke never
like
gets
three
old.
Blocks from here. So, yeah. So Elder Brew, actually, it's just down from the studio here, literally three blocks around the corner. I do a show where I just play local rock and roll and local soul records from 7 to 9 those Thursday nights, and just have a good time. Everybody come out and have a cold, refreshing beverage, and we'll listen to some music that most likely you've never heard.
Yeah. Well, and Lonnie, we're about out of time here to speak with you here today, and it sure has been fun, but tell everybody where folks can hear more about what you're doing. So that you've got the Big Long's Grateful Dig on Facebook.
Yes. And then, so I'm on that Facebook, and then my show is here on Radio Bristol. at 5 p.m. on Thursdays, 5 to 6, and they replay my show on Saturdays at 2. But, you know, if you just can't live without a dose of Big Lawn, you can go to listenradiobristol.org and on the on-air shows, do the drop-down for Digging with Big Lawn, and they've got a bunch of my shows archived, so you can go and listen to some of this local music. Thanks for having me on the show. This has been so much fun.
Yeah, Lonnie, it's been so great to see and hear you and talk to you.
Yay.
you're real. I haven't forgotten. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Lonnie. And folks, stick around because right after my program here, Lonnie's show is going to be coming up next on the station. So please stick around and stay tuned. All right, folks, thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, you can catch this program, Mountain Song and Story, every Thursday right here at 4 o'clock each and every week on Radio Bristol. You can also check out past programs if you visit the Mountain Song and Story program page over at listenradiobristol.org. As always, I'll have all the songs, today's playlist, stuff that we talked about, that Lonnie talked about up there, so go check it out. Special thanks again to Lonnie Sawyer for talking with me today about record collecting and more. It was so much fun to get to talk to Lonnie. And stick around and stay tuned because right after this, just in a few minutes, in fact, Lonnie's coming into the studio setting up to play his show and play you some live records. So stick around. Do it. Don't leave. So I've got one more song to take you out this hour here on the show. The Bottle Keeps Me Going from Art Hall, another local recording. My name is Tony Doman, and I do hope that you'll join me right here next week.